September school return must be safe for all workers and students. Louise Cafaro, NUM National Education Union Branch Secretary and Teacher, personal capacity. After 6 months, the Tory government has still not been able to provide an efficient and smooth running test, track, trace, and isolation system for COVID-19 cases in all localities. This underpins a lack of confidence and real fears that education staff, their unions and parents have for a safe return to state schools in September. As a result of this government's unwillingness to take the necessary precautions early enough to tell people to stay at home, many areas of deprivation such as Newham in East London were massively hit, disproportionately affecting the BAME community. In Newham there have been promises of a soon-to-be trialed track and trace mobile phone app. Despite this, in Newham and elsewhere, education unions must lead the call for track and trace to be brought into the hands of the local authority and public health bodies, so that regular testing is available for school staff and pupils. Tracking and tracing should be carried out by local staff door-to-door who know the area and communities they serve. And all school staff who are employed by catering and cleaning companies, without sick pay and so on, must be brought in-house to ensure they can isolate with full pay as necessary. Since Education Minister Gavin Williamson's declaration in July that all staff and students, primary and secondary, will return in September, government spokespersons and the media have repeatedly stated that children don't catch the virus, transmit the virus, and don't carry the same load of virus as adults. However, scientific reports show that, while children can be asymptomatic or only mildly infected, they can transmit the virus, and over 11-year-olds carry similar loads as adults. Also, schools are not just full of pupils, they are full of teachers, support staff, administration staff, cleaners, caretakers, catering staff, visiting social workers, educational psychologists and other specialists meeting the needs of various pupils. In fact, schools provide the very conditions in which transmission of COVID-19 can rapidly spread in large groups of people in enclosed spaces, enforce close proximity for long periods of time. Not to mention that all those adults and pupils then return home to their families. From March until June, teachers and support staff continued to work in schools on a rota to look after vulnerable and key worker children in small groups. Then in June, with promises of a world-leading track and trace system to be up and running within a month, Boris Johnson announced 3- and 4-year groups would return to school in June. The majority of primary and secondary pupils continued to be at home, and school staff continued to provide work on the school's websites and/or in packages sent home to pupils. Education staff never stopped working, the schools never closed, and the world-class track and trace system never materialized from the private companies who made millions out of the contract. School outbreaks during those last few weeks of the summer term. There were no large outbreaks in the primary schools, but this was because the National Education Union reps and members, despite the lack of track and trace system, ensured they rigorously questioned and checked their school's risk assessments. They insisted on the rights of vulnerable staff, those with underlying medical conditions, BAME staff and those shielding others, to be able to continue to work from home. They fought for PPE where close contact personal interventions would be necessary with very young children, and they lobbied 4-year groups to return gradually, over a period of weeks, in small groups or bubbles of 10 to 15. Pupils, with 1 or 2 adults who stayed in the same classroom at all times. This enabled socially distanced seating, meals in their classrooms and play times outside staggered, so that bubbles did not mix. The importance of social distancing was paramount as, generally speaking, adults in schools were not provided or encouraged to wear masks. However, in September, social distancing as a measure to mitigate against the spread of COVID-19 in schools will simply not be possible to guarantee if we follow the government dictate. Bubbles will increase in size to include all classes in a year group. In a 4-4 entry primary school of 30 pupils per class, this means bubbles of 120 pupils. In secondary schools, a year group bubble could be as many as, or more, than 300 pupils, plus all the adults they come into contact with in different lessons and break times. There is nowhere else in society where that number of people would be allowed to come together and interact at mealtimes with no PPE and guaranteed space to social distance. The concerns expressed by Johnson, and backed up by Labour leader Keir Starmer, over the priority for children to be back in school for the sake of their education and to bridge the gap of inequality, ring even more hollow and hypocritical in the wake of the downgrading of state school pupils' A-level results, while private schools' results have been largely upgraded. The virus has not gone. It is the same virus that has killed approximately 50,000 in the UK and possibly more. We have no vaccine, and the government should be planning for ongoing local closures of schools for the foreseeable future in the event of positive COVID cases in schools. That means providing laptops and Wi-Fi to all pupils, and prioritizing funding to local authorities, to ensure local track and trace systems are fully functioning, and fit for local purposes. So once again the National Education Union and other education unions must lead the call for safety first in schools for September. A more gradual return of year groups and smaller classes, which will allow social distancing, and more attention per pupil, as at Eton and Harrow. As a matter of urgency, many National Education Union districts and branches, reps and members across the UK, will be holding a day of action on Friday the 21st of August to highlight the union's demands and the urgent need to unite and fight for a fully funded and resourced state education system which is safe and works for working class young people. Worried parents stuck between a rock and a hard place. Lindsay Morgan, Leicester Socialist Party and Leicester Safety First Boris Johnson has argued that it is our moral duty to ensure all pupils go back to school in September. The irony of Boris talking about morals after the anxiety his government has caused A-level and GCSE students, working class youth generally, and the monumental amount of stress the Tories have caused through austerity, is overwhelming. Nevertheless, since the start of May, a parent group called Safety First, parents, carers, students, and school staff together has been fighting a broad campaign, fighting for school safety in Leicester and the surrounding county, supporting the National Education Union locally. Our parent-led campaign has petitioned the local authority, aired our concerns on BBC Radio Leicester, written letters to the city mayor, who dismissed our concerns, organised a protest for the 21st of August as part of a national day of action, advised education workers of their legal rights, and much more, to fight for the safety of education workers, students, and the wider community. Incredibly difficult lockdown has been incredibly difficult for swaths of working class parents who have had to try and balance work with home educating, or by trying to get hold of overpriced childcare, or even trying to manage their own mental health and the worries of their children. Many will feel that they have no other choice but to send their children back, or face unemployment and the stress that goes with that. There are also many parents who have had to shield, or their children have, who are now expected to send them back in just 2 weeks' time under the threat of fines and potential imprisonment. The current plan of the government and Labour is for all of these students to be forced back into full-time school before it is safe. A building body of research has shown that teenage children transmit the virus as well as adults, and that the virus isn't only spread through surfaces but breath. We still do not have a vaccine. Combine this with poorly ventilated classrooms, no PPE for teachers and students, no social distancing, and the general cramped conditions of many schools, and it is a potential disaster. Parents who are worried about this are finding their voice. By linking parent campaigns with not only the education unions, but also the wider trade union movement, we can make sure it really is safety first before the schools open. As a single mum, who doesn't have the option of sharing childcare, it is an incredibly stressful situation. And many parents are feeling this too. My daughter is due to go into year 10 and wants to get on with her GCSEs, but is also worried about her health, my health, and the health of her teachers. The Socialist Party in Education has drew up a set of demands, see opposite, which mitigate the risk, and develop the National Education Union's 5 tests. This includes a demand for students to go in on a rota basis to enable blended learning. By reducing class sizes, you lessen the risk for all in the school environment, but also enable shielders to not take risks to their lives, and parents who need to work can. They have also asked for face masks to be used by over 11s with a transparent panel to enable lip reading. These should be provided for workers and students. Physical resources, including books, aid resources, and so on, should also be provided. Of course, the government would definitely agree to this, being as they care so much for vulnerable children. The atrocious threat of fines should also be removed. If this isn't done at government level, heads, who can authorize absences, should look to their colleagues for support in not implementing fines, and take local authorities on. The Labour Council in Leicester, just as it doesn't resist cuts, also refuses to resist the government on fines, despite the city being recently forced into local lockdown and a still too high infection rate. It was able to resist the Tories when it came to getting businesses open though. Over a decade of austerity, plus the COVID crisis, has made many working class parents ill. While our children are unlikely to get seriously ill, we have a wide range of illnesses linked to poverty and malnutrition, and full-time full return increases our chances of catching COVID, a virus which disproportionately kills us, the working class. The U-turn over A-level and GCSE results has shown to a huge layer of young people that protest works. By uniting these youth with parents and unions fighting for school safety, we can land another blow on this awful government. But we shouldn't stop there. We need to fight for a socialist education system, where no one's postcode can work against them, the socialist transformation of society where the workers themselves have control over their health and safety, and an end to this inept government. Socialist party and education demands, smaller class sizes to allow adequate physical distancing. Schools should reopen at the start of term with no classes larger than 15 school students. Wider opening should only be considered when the evidence of the effects of school opening on infection rates confirms that it is safe to do so. Full consultation with parents and unions over rotas, no fines, protect those most at risk. Arrangements for home learning to be produced in consultation with parents and carers, to meet priority needs as much as possible. Books and aid resources must be made available to those who need them. There must be no fines on those who opt for their children to learn at home. Agreement with unions must guarantee that those staff who are, or who live with others at greater risk, can fulfill their duties by working from home. Face covering schools can't be treated differently from other indoor environments. Staff and school students over the age of 11 should wear face coverings while indoors. Staff should be given transparent coverings, if needed for facial expression. Safety first. When there are local outbreaks, where a case is identified within a school, staff, and students within that bubble, must be closed to allow self-isolation. Where there are two or more cases within 14 days, then the whole school will close. Where local infection rates exceed the internationally recognized threshold of 50 new cases per 100,000 over 7 days, schools should close to all but priority children. Community test and trace systems that work. Full pay if you need to isolate. We need a reliable community-based testing and tracing system, run through local council, NHS and GP services, not private profiteers. All who have to isolate should be supported on full pay. Weekly on-site testing of staff to be provided, and for children whose parents request it too. But this government will not listen, unless forced to do so. That's why parents and staff must demand they support and fund schools to open safely. We call on school unions to use their collective strength to prepare for a national strike ballot to allow action to be taken if safety remains at risk. Support members acting together to assert their legal rights not to work in an unsafe workplace under Section 44 of the Employment Rights Act 1996, which provides for the protection of workers if they decide not to work in an unsafe environment.